For those of you who are familiar with that song, it came out in 1994. It's so crazy. I got married in 1994, and that song came out. So I was trying to just practice this whole living double lives, you know. I'd go home and tell Brandy one thing, you know, but yet I'd live a different way. And that song came out. I'm like, this is God. He's helping me, right? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, you know. No, the devil will work in many, many ways, okay? But it's just something how one song can come out and it sticks with you for life, especially if you have a problem with lying, like this guy had. Not really me, but he did. And this song goes on and he talks about, you know, he walks into the kitchen in the morning time and the girlfriend's sitting up and she's drinking coffee. If you ever get a chance to talk to Miss Sandy over here, Miss Sandy, just raise your hand. Miss Sandy Markham and her wonderful husband, Ken. Listen, they have some stories that will keep you rolling, rib cages hurting your face, feel like you got plastic surgery because you're just walking around like this. They got some stories, a lot similar to what I'm fixing to share. But the guy walks in and she's like, where you been? He said, well, I fell asleep on a hammock out in the yard. And she's like, mm-hmm. You know, and then she goes on, you don't know it, boy, but you just blew it. And he's like, well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And then goes on to the next verse, and she says that that hammock you just said you slept in out in the yard, she's like, you don't know, but last week I put it up in the barn. Well, then he's like, that's my story. He starts stuttering, but he's sticking to it. You guys get where I'm going? That's his story, and he's sticking to it. He's not going to waver from this story. Why? Because if he wavers from the story, what happens? It's not believable. It's not perceived to be accurate. It's not true. I know watching enough CSI in my time, when someone begins to waver from their story, you guys get where I'm going, right? It's so lovely just to ask your child just two or three questions and they give you different responses. Busted! You better learn how to lie better. Get your story and stick to it. But all of us have a story. All of us have a story. Some of us are embarrassed about our story. Some of us are excited about it. But no matter what, we have a story. And the thing about our stories is it's based upon our decisions. This man in this video, this song, he made some decisions to go hang out with the boys that night and didn't come in till sunup. Guess what? His decisions chose to write his story. The decisions we make today, they actually determine the stories we tell in the future. The decisions we make even yet today, they decide the stories that we're going to tell in the future. Just think about that for a second. Who are you today? Who are you today? What's your story? Did you know that your life and your story is a direct result of choices that you've made? Direct result, no matter how many people we can blame. How many of y'all, we can blame some people. And we've been wronged by people. I mean, very, very painfully. And probably still paying for some of the issues that people have wronged us. But you know what? We still today have a choice to make that can write our story. Amen? How many of you have made a permanent decision based on a temporary emotion? I'm not talking about marriage. I know y'all are like, oh my goodness, I thought I loved him and his eyes. Oh my goodness. And you made a permanent decision based on a temporary emotion. But think about a purchase you've made, a permanent decision. I'm going to buy this car and pay for the next 6 or 7 years. Why? Because the button on your shifter, a $13 part, went out. You guys get where I'm going? My car's falling apart. I need a new vehicle. You made a permanent decision on a temporary emotion. Does that make sense? Just some ideas, some of those things like for me, you know, I decided that I wanted to, you know, I was tired of dealing with long hair and a full thick head of hair. It was hot, and I just wanted to just shorten it up a bit, you know? It was an emotional decision. I'm trying to retract, yeah, it was permanent, yeah, but it was.
Is this
your story? I'm sticking to it. But many of us, guys, we will have ideas, we have plans, and the Bible talks about that in Proverbs 16, verse 9. It says, in their hearts, I want you to get this now. This may help some of you. The rest of you, I don't know if you're worth helping right at the moment, but we'll get to that during the message. But Proverbs 16, 9 says, in their hearts, humans plan. Everybody say plan.
Plan.
How many of you are planners? Come on, raise your hand up high and proud. You plan every meal. You plan what you're going to eat. You plan when you're going to get rid of what you eat. You plan everything. You plan other people's lives. Come on, still raise your hand now. Be proud of it. That's a gift. Exercise it. Amen? Planners. But the Bible says right here that in their hearts, human, they make plans. They plan their course. Now, I want the others of you who didn't raise your hand, how many of you have felt like in life, you're just spinning tires? Like you tirelessly worked after a certain thing, and like after a certain amount of time where you felt you could see a measurable distance in that specific endeavor, you're like, I didn't move a flipping inch. Anybody? You just feel like you're spinning wheels, whether it be trying to get your wife straight, or your husband straight, or the bill straight, or your health straight, whatever the case, I haven't moved a bit. I feel like I'm just spinning wheels. Well, here's the answer to maybe the problem that you're facing. The Bible says that in their hearts, humans plan their course. But the Lord establishes their steps. What that means is, guys, we may have plans to be, to do, to go, to whatever the case may be, but it is the Lord who actually establishes our foothold. He establishes our steps. He allows us to gain traction in this mud we call life. Does that make sense? So we can have great plans that actually include God and go after them. Go after them, but just know that your plans are sometimes going to have to be altered in order for you to gain traction. And He is the alterer. He is the one who is going to come in and say, you know what, you've been spinning your wheels way too long in this little mud hole. I'm ready to help you get out and move forward and get back on track. Amen? So whatever plans you have today, please remember that it is God who is the only one that gives us traction. He establishes our steps. I just got finished talking about graduation. I think about my daughter and other high school students who just graduated recently. And I think about, wow, man, I graduated. And that night, I don't even remember what we did that night, except the fact that I stayed up till 4 in the morning going and putting in a sound system in my Suzuki Samurai that I had just purchased. I mean, I had some sound systems, some Rockford Fosgate, some Boston acoustic tins. I mean, I had it sound right, but I lived in a nice subdivision, and you couldn't really crank it up at 2 in the morning, so I had to get things set, have to get in my vehicle and drive out in the country and just break off the knob. You know what I mean? That was when I graduated, knowing that just 2 days later, I was moving out of the house, and Brandy's dad was giving me a summer job. We had been dating a couple of months. I was excited. You hear me? I'm moving out to the country where they got creeks and woods and hills and a job, a nice paying job. I think about our teenagers who just graduated. So many choices they have to make. So many choices that they have to make. Major decisions. Because the decisions they make are going to one day be the stories that they tell. Do I go to this university? Do I not go to this university? Do I go to the military? Or do I go to work? You know, some teenagers are like, do I hold this couch down and eat Twinkies, or do I sit on this couch and eat taquitos or tacos all day long, right? Well, others, we have a little bit more ambition, a little bit more dreams, and maybe a little fire underneath us. So many decisions to make. Some of us, we're, you know, dealing with the issues of, as adults, should I secure a job at a certain place? Maybe that's something you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for a better job because it's paying more. But think about where you are maybe right now. Maybe you have great hours. Maybe the pay is not quite where you want to be, but maybe the hours are consistent. Maybe the hours work in your favor so that you can continue spending time with your family, so that you can continue spending time on your faith journey, being connected to the local body of Christ. Can I get an amen? I've seen so many people go after the money and leave behind their family. Go after the money and leave behind fun times with their children or their spouses or even their parents. What hurts the most is when they lose out on their faith time, on continuing to grow, continuing to be fed and challenged and encouraged to go after God. So many decisions. How do I want my story to unfold? I want you to say that right now. Say, how do I want my story to unfold? Years down the road, how do I want my story to be told? How do I want my story to be told? Guys, every day, all day, we all make some sort of choice, some sort of small choice, one after the other. And these choices, they keep accumulating. Some are going this way, some are going this way, some are going this way. But all the choices we make, whether good or bad, they end up creating a tapestry. They create a canvas that tells our story. Make sense? Some of us have a lot of weaving that are from bad choices and horrible decisions, right? Right? But since you're here, since you're in a place where you're going to be taught how to make godly decisions and to get on the right path, those ugly, harmful, horrible decisions, they may begin to start to get disguised or hidden by the what? The new things that are happening and decisions and choices that are coming into your life. Why? Because I'm choosing to follow God. I want to ask you a question. What are the two greatest days of your life? Two greatest days of your life. Someone just recently posted last week, the greatest day of my life is when I married so-and-so. That's awesome. That's honorable. But I believe the two greatest days of your life, number one, is the day that you're born. That's a good day, right? May not be for your mom, but it was a good day for you, right? Now, the second best good day or great day is when you discover why it is that you were born. Even if in your 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s, teens, when you discover why it is that you were born, that's a great day because you have discovered everything that God has for you. Why would He create you to just exist? That's why warts are here, just to exist, right? Lumps on a log are created by God to just what? Exist. You think He went through all that work to make you just for you to exist? No, He has a purpose for your life. And the only way you'll be able to discover that is not just listening to God's Word, not just reading God's Word, not just going to church, but your feet actually have to begin to step out and do some things so you can discover what it is that God has created you to do. Amen? Regardless of how our stories begin, all of us, we live our life every day, and it adds to our story. Guys, when you're able to assess and look at the decisions that have caused you to get where you are, you've looked at some of the decisions that have caused you to kind of stumble. Well, by doing those mess-ups, those decisions, those choices in your story of your life, you're able to prevent those from happening in the future. If I were to ask you, what's your story? How did your story start? Many of you guys have come up with all kinds of different things. Well, there was that time whenever I played high school football, man. I made that touchdown, and there were some scouts out there, and I got called to go to college football, blah, 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 right? That's your moment. That's your moment. For others, it would be the day that you got married. You know, man, that's where my story really, really began. For me, my story really, really began, at least the story that I don't mind talking about, is that one night that I met this good-looking girl. And there was just one particular area that I was just really focused in on, for those of you who know what I'm talking about. And I asked her to dance. And she said yes. And she's like, I can't believe you still say, I'm just trying to be honest. And we slow danced, and we slow danced. And bum, 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 bum. Anyway, at that point, we started talking. And I realized at that moment, you know what? Me dancing is what got you here. Let's just get that straight. You hurt my feelings. But I knew at that moment in my life that if I was going to continue to pursue to date Brandy, I had to look at my story. I had to look at, I'm going to have to change. She's calling me to step up. In order to be with her, I have to improve who I am. Not what I do, because what I do is going to change after I decide who I want to be, who I want to become. But I knew instantly, by the way she slow danced with me, I knew instantly, dude, you're going to have to change. And I tell you what, it was worth it. and it has been worth it, and it will always be worth it. But think about your story. Think about your story, the decisions you make. Some parts of our lives we're excited about. You know, we talk about, you know, the time we met our wife, we talk about, oh, I got children, and we get our phone out, and we start showing pictures off of our children, right? You know, our family, and this is, man, this is my story. Some of us, we skip past those areas of our story that aren't really presentable. Like, we don't want to show pictures of that, right? We just skip over those parts of our lives, and some of us will kind of embellish. We'll just kind of, what do you call that, bling, those parts of our life. We'll make it up as we go just to make it sound better, right? Those are parts of our story. But what decisions are you making today that will continue to allow your story to be something that you're excited to share about? Amen? You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone in order for you to reach the goal of sharing the story that you want to share. None of us want to be on our deathbed sitting down with a bunch of young people around us saying, I existed like a wart on a frog. Like, I'm not excited about that. If you are, hallelujah. Drew, are you excited about that? No, I want to make a difference in someone's life. I want to impact the world. I want to be all that God has created me to be. Why? Because I don't want to waste a day of my life. I've been given a new life. Amen? Our stories, all of our decisions blended together. Now, some of you may not like where you are. You may not like the plot that you're in right now, but that's okay. That's okay. Maybe you don't like the journey that you're on right now. The choices you've made have got you to where you are today, and you're still mad and upset. That's okay. Because starting today, you can make choices that will change the outcome. You can't change what happened in the past. You can't go back and make decisions again, but you can choose today how your ending is going to look. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? I guess it's not incredible. Okay. How do I get there, Pastor Damon? It seems too big. I can't even think about the end. I can't even think about the target or the goal. Well, guys, we start small. We start with a daily discipline, a new discipline that makes for a better ending of our story. When I met Brandy, I never once imagined that I would be standing up in front of a church in Florida, pastoring and preaching and loving on people and connect. I never once imagined. If a prophet would have come to me that day at that little teen club when I was dancing, when you were dancing, and he would have told me, hey, Damon, this is the end result. This is where you're going to be. I'd be like, dude, I'm out of here quick. But what you guys may not know is the night that I met Brandy, I had been out of this relationship. It was almost a two-year relationship. It was very X and R-rated. That's what the relationship was all about. And even at the age of 17, I said this in my home. At 17, I said, I am tired of sex. At 17 years old. That was embarrassing for me to say that, but I said, I'm tired of this. I can't live like this. Like, there's no relation. I'm ready to go meet someone new. I said that evening. I want to meet someone new that's not even on the radar. Lo and behold, I went to a club that I'd never been before, a little teen club, and I met Brandy, and I never crossed paths with her again, ever, by accident. Does that make sense? Guys, I decided that day, not knowing God, I probably hated God. I didn't know anything. I didn't believe in God, but I said something. I believed that day I wanted my story to change, and it did. Maybe you should start believing. Maybe you should start dreaming of maybe a different story for your life, no matter where you are in life. Start a new discipline, and you begin to make for a new story. Each day that you put in a new discipline, each month that you put in a new spiritual discipline, God, the finisher of your faith, will help you to complete what you started. I've heard people say, you know what, the worst things you could ever do is never start and never finish. Right? That's the worst things you could do is never start. It was so funny. I had my sisters over and my mom. Two of them would not get in a kayak. to save their life. If I said the earth is going to collapse and fall away and to never ever land, but the water is going to be the only thing that saves you, you need to get in a kayak. Be like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I tried to get my sister to get in a kayak. She wouldn't. I tried to get my sister to kneeboard. She wouldn't do it. She would not do it. Why? Because they're not thinking about, how do I want my story? Fear. Fear stops us from wanting to really create our story. When we think about the big picture, we get locked. And man, I really can't make that big of a leap. Listen, start small. Start small. Let me show you a scripture, Zechariah 4:10. It says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Do not despise these small beginnings. But the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Then he goes on to say, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. I remember when I used to do construction for 13 years, and you got a 4-foot level, and you could put that on something and tell if it's that's your measuring device. That's how it tells you if it's plumb, right? You guys get where I'm going? But when you're setting 80-foot steel galvanized poles that are like this big around, and you got 15 bolts this big at the bottom, you can't really put a level on this because it's a tapered pole. You get me? There's no way to tell that this thing's level. You actually have to get a plumb line, and you have to stand back, way back, and you hold up this little string with a weight on the bottom of it. And that determines how accurate, how straight this pole is. Does that make sense? Just like when you're building a brick wall, so to speak, you may be starting with a nice, heavy-duty, strong, level foundation, right? For those of us who have professed Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's a phenomenal foundation. That's great. That's great. And maybe we've gone to church, and maybe we've served here, maybe we've given here, maybe we've prayed here, maybe we've helped here, and we've kind of stacked up our little Christian wall, right? But unless we continue to go back to God's Word and allow His truth to be the plumb line on what we think we're building in our relationship with God, that wall may be kind of like this. Make sense? Like you may be walking up to the wall and hit your head before your feet do. Always line up your life with the Word of God so that it's plumb, that it's in line. You're going the direction that God has for you. Everybody say, that's my story. And I'm sticking to it. Think about this. If you want to run a marathon, do you just get up and run a marathon? If you're Damon. I'm not right. Yeah, I decided I was going to run a 5K, so I wanted to practice, and I ran 5K like the evening before. Not too smart. But I still did it the next morning, 20, or was it 31 minutes. I was like, I lived through it. Where's the nearest wheelchair? But what I'm getting at, guys, is you want to start small. Okay, you want to start small. For those of you who want to lose 50 pounds, you can't just like drive past Burger King 4 times and think it'll be done. You got to start small. You got to back away from the peanut butter M&Ms after you eat a Little Debbie cake and ice cream after your meal. You just start small, right? Now, with smoking or addictions, I've heard people just cut it cold turkey and it works out for the good. I have talked to people that have worked on quitting smoking for 30 years, and they've gotten down 4 cigarettes a day in 30 years. Phenomenal. That's growth. Amen? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. What I'm getting at, guys, is sometimes we can be overwhelmed by where we want to be spiritually, because we want to be here, we want to be there spiritually, but we think it's just going to happen in one night. And sometimes that does happen. But other times, like many, it's going to take little baby steps that you implement a new discipline in your life. Yes, discipline. Yes, something that you have to measure. Yes, something that you have to do daily in order to see yourself change. Amen? That's God's story. I want to share a couple scriptures with you, but before that, I want to share one thing with you. See, God cares more about who than the do. God cares more about the who than the do. Many times I've asked, Pastor Damon, I just want to know what God wants me to do. Now, Mike shared a little bit about this a few weeks ago. Many of us want to know, what does God want me to do? If it's concerning a job, if it's concerning a relationship, if it's concerning a choice about your health, what does God want me to do? Everybody say, do. God's more concerned about the who than he is the do. What do you mean by that? How do I know what God wants? How do I know what God's will is for my life? If you look in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, it is God's will. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to all of our questions. What is God's will for my life? It says right here in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, it is God's will that you be. Damon, I don't even know what that means. How am I going to know what to do? He does the doing. It says God's will that all of us who are Christ, you know, giving our lives to Christ, Christians, we've been washed in the blood of Christ. It says that you be sanctified, that you be set apart, that you be separated from sin, that you become holy. The Greek word for holy is agios, which means sanctified, set apart, that I'm going to be different. That's God's will for your life. What does God want me to do? God wants you to be different. God wants you to be set apart. God wants you to be sanctified. God wants you to be holy. And as you look at this, I want you guys to see my story. This is what God wants us to be. He wants us to have a life that reflects holiness. Okay? That's his goal. That's what God wants for your life. You just read in 1 Thessalonians, God's will is that we be sanctified, set apart, holy unto God. And guys, if you have professed Christ as your Savior, listen, you're not to look like the world. And I'm not talking about looks as an appearance. You can choose whatever route you're going down, right? Some of us don't have a choice. But Romans is clear about how our life, our choices are going to make our story. Romans is pretty clear about how the way we live lines up with what God's story wants us to accomplish. So Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Guys, there's systems, there's ideology, there's habits, there's addictions, there's patterns, there's things that are just already moving every day. There's natural instincts that are in our body, in our mind, in our emotions every day that are worldly. And the Bible says right here in Romans, it says, do not conform anymore to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will, going back to God's will. What does God want me to do? Well, he's right here, he's telling you how you'll be able to tell what he wants you to do. And the first thing you do is don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve that what God's will is for you, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Guys, manipulation is not what God wants you to do. Greed is not what God wants you to have. Jealousy, anger, fits of rage, all these things, lust, you guys get me? Those are not things that God wants you to walk in. A lot of us want to focus on, well, I don't want to do that anymore. Instead, we should be asking God, God, make me who you want me to become. Because if I become who you want me to be, then I will no longer do the things I used to do. I used to get so angry at Damon all the time. Man, you do the same stupid thing every time. You know this is wrong. You know this is wrong. But yet you still do it. Man, you're such a failure. How could God even love you? I know I'm not the only one that says those things. That's the wrong lens to look through. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. I can do all things, especially the things that God has set before me, through Christ who gives me strength to do these things. I am a new creation. Yes, I may have done this for 18 or 19 years, but it doesn't tell me I have to continue to do these things. Because of what happened to me as a child or a teenager or a young adult doesn't mean that I have to be that person because it was done to me. That's what our mind, that's what our feelings tell us. But God's word is the plumb line. It's what is accurate. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world. So many Christians I've seen, they think they can succeed by riding the line. That was me. I thought that in order for me to still enjoy life of being a Christian, forgiven through Christ, I'm going to be washed, I'm going to go to heaven, but yet I still wanted this, I still wanted that, I still pursued this, I still had to have that, I still couldn't get away from this, I couldn't put this down. Then what I did, I thought the way for me to succeed is just to stay as close to the God line as I could. That's a good thought, right? It's a good thought. But if I'm trying to stay close to the God line as I could, but yet all of my attention and all of my desires and all of my fulfillment is coming from these other things, what's going to happen to me? You've heard that description. He's riding the fence. She's riding the fence. She's straddling the fence. He's straddling the fence. Fences don't feel good. But what I'm getting at, guys, is that's how many Christians think they'll succeed, is just by trying to do, instead of becoming who God wants you to be. And then that line, it's a natural thing, supernatural thing. Amen? What God wants, He wants our story to line up with His story that He has for me. Mike shared, you know, it's not about what you're doing, but it's about who you are. God's more after your heart than He is your actions. And I know when Mike was preaching, I was sitting right there. I was like, man, that can really, like, confuse people. It can set people off. But there's so much truth to it that it took me years as a follower of Christ to finally get. God's not worried about what I do and my actions, no matter how screwed up they are. He's more concerned about who I am or who I'm becoming. He's more concerned about, does He fully possess, does He fully own, does He fully reside in my heart? Because when He does, and if He does, then my actions are going to line up with the Holy Spirit that is inside of me. Does that make sense? It's not about do's, but it's about who. Everybody say who. You're a bunch of owls. What does God want me to do? The better question is, who does God want me to become? Jesus is more concerned about your character than anything else. Pastor Andy Stanley said, direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction, not intention, determines destination. I could have all the best intentions of having a holy my story. That's my intentions, man. I want to be a good person. I want to be a better person. I want to be someone that everyone is proud to know and proud to be around. That's good intentions, right? But how can I get here if I'm going this direction? How can I become holy if I'm going this direction? You follow me? So intentions doesn't give you direction. Your actions, having direction, having consistent guidance. This is where I'm going. This is my target. I may have good intentions to get here, but until my actions begin to line up with my intentions, they're just intentions. He said, direction, not intention, determines destination. If my direction is here, and my intentions are to get here, no matter what I do, if my direction is pointed here, guess where I'm going to end up at? Because that's my direction. But my intentions are to be here. Yeah, well, you should have decided that when you had the right intentions, what direction you were going to go. Well, I want to be a Christian, but I don't really want to be a sold out Christian. I still want to keep this and that and this and that in my life, and I still want to talk about people, and I still want to steal, and I still want to borrow stuff without permission and never return it, or I still want to take advantage of situations. Well, guess what? You're not going to end up here. You're going to end up here. Direction, direction, direction. Everybody say direction. Listen, God has a story, and we need to stick to it. If we deviate from anything that God has for us, we will pay for it dearly. I want to share one story with you as I begin to land this plane. Go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. This is someone that many of us are familiar with. If we've gone through Bible studies or Sunday school or VBS, we hear about Daniel. Daniel and the what? Daniel and the lion's den. Everybody has heard about it, but what we've failed to remember or study or even read about is what got him to that place of being thrown in the lion's den. What got him to the place of even working for kings? And the scripture is clear about that. If you go in Daniel chapter 5, you'll learn all about it. But I want to point something out to you about how he succeeded, okay? We're going to go to Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to read a lot of verses, and I want you to follow with me, okay? Verses chapter 6, 1 through 28. Okay, it pleased Darius, who is the king of Babylon, right now it says, to appoint 120 satraps. That's basically governors. Like over our states, that's who satraps are. So 120 people who were governors, okay? Darius appointed 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps slash governors were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, verse 3, Daniel is so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities. See, it's the who. Y'all see that? It's the who, not the do. By his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Verse 4, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. Jealousy. Okay, they cannot find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy. Is that an action or is that a who? A who. It's his character. They could not find any corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Ooh, how many of us get a little negligent sometimes? Verse 5 says, finally, these men say, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. They come down to the line. They put him under the microscope. There's no way we can pull a charge against him unless we involve something to do with his religious beliefs, his practices. Verse 6, so the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king, and they said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, the prefects, satraps, and advisors and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, anyone who prays to any other god except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Verse 8, now, O king, issue this decree and put it into writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Verse 9, so King Darius put the decree in writing. He was all for that. Okay? He didn't know their plan. Verse 10 says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went to home, to his upstairs room. Then it goes on to say, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem three times a day. Everybody say three times a day. The Bible says right here that he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. If I could just make those letters just get like this big. Just as he has done before. That's the who. Just as he has done before. You guys getting me yet? Just as he has done before. He didn't do something different to prove that he was a follower of God, just as he had done before. He had already started something small years back. He had already started worshiping God and praying to God three times a day. We don't even know when. But just as he'd done before. Verse 11, and these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God to help. So they then went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays any God except you, or man except for you, O king, that you'll be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Verse 13, then he said to the king, Daniel, who was the one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, king, or the decree that you put into writing. He still prays three times a day. You see, Daniel has a story, and he is what? He's not changing things. He's sticking. He's sticking to the story. Many times we'll be tempted with distractions. We'll be tempted with different journeys, different endeavors, different objects. Listen, if it deviates from what you know God has given you and God has shown you, It's a distraction. Call it what it is. It's another God. Call it what it is. It's something else commanding and demanding that you kneel down to it. Call it what it is. And the reason why Daniel could not bow down on his knees and worship the king was because he had already decided to bow down his knees and worship the true king, not just once in the midst of this little decree, but three times a day, as he has always done. Does that make sense? Many things will always require or command or scream at you, wanting you to kneel down and bow down. I'm going to skip over some scriptures, go as fast as I can. Verse 19, at the first light of dawn, the king, so let me just go back. So anyway, they grab him and they said, you know what? You broke the decree. You disobeyed. We're going to put you in the lion's den. The men went as a group to the king. So remember, little king, this is what he did. So he said, you know what? Go ahead and grab them. Put him into the lion's den. If you go on, it says, so the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. See, I skipped over a very crucial scripture because we think the king was all for this. But if you just scoot up a little bit, it says that when the king heard this in verse 14, he was greatly distressed that he had to put Daniel in the lion. He was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel. He wanted to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Why? Because he knew Daniel's So when someone comes at you with a false accusation, there are many times you don't have to say a word. Because those who have walked with you, those who have watched you, what you do in front of people and not in front of people, they know your character. That's a good feeling. When somebody says, you know, Pastor Damon, I've heard this said about you, blah, 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 but I know it's not true because I know your character. Think about that on your job. For those of you, I heard today, this last week, there's someone who actually shows up to work an hour early because two people ride together to work, and one's the driver, shows up to work early, an hour every day, and works and never clocks in. Character. Character. And you know what's so awesome is these same people that said this, they said, you know what? We may work at a certain place and we may love the people that we work for and they love us, but we work as unto the Lord. And to be young and to have that revelation that I'm not going to be a complainer like everyone else because I have a story to tell. I want the story of my life. So if you guys continue to read through there, you'll find that he spent the night with the lions. Nothing happened. The lions didn't do anything. The king ran in there as quick as possible. He said, Daniel, are you still alive? Are you there? He's like, yep, the lions never even come by me. Yep, get him out. And then the king's like, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and grab all the satraps and the people that set him up. Let's not only throw them in there, but let's throw their kids, their wives, everybody. Yes, yes. And the Bible says that their bodies didn't even hit the ground yet. And the lions begin to scatter and tear apart their bodies and bones. Well, that's kind of graphic. Well, you mess around with God's men, never know what happens. One thing I want to tell you guys is here we are, my story. Every day, I said all of us make choices, right? Do I have cheese on my burger or do I not have cheese on my burger? Do I want onions or pickles on my burger? Or do I not want onions? You guys are being facetious. I hear what you're thinking. But every choice we make from this point forward, I want us to think about this. Every choice I make is a direction. Every single one. If I discipline my kids this way, everyone, every action, every choice, every decision has a direction. My question to you, in order for you to have the story that you will be very proud to share in the future, pass a filter over the decisions you make, especially with relationships, with finances, with all these things, because Whatever decisions you make, it has a direction. This direction is not going to land here. That's okay. We may make bad decisions, but let's just make sure that from that decision, we choose to realign our next choice. Does that make sense? Every single decision. Do I think this way about my husband? Do I think this way about my wife? Do I treat my coworkers this way? Do I give? Do I serve? Whatever the case is, this may look like it's going to the same place. Damon used to think a lot of this ended up here, having a holiness, having a story that I would be proud to stand before God and say, Jesus, I've done all these things in your name. Sound a little familiar? But the Bible says that when they get here, actually here, he'll say, you know what? I never knew you. Who are you? Who are you? We do, but he's saying, but who are you? Does that make sense? Ladies and gentlemen, make sure that your choices each day angle here. You want to know what to do? You want to know how to do it? Does it make your story line up with God's story? Would it be a story that God would choose to share? Think about that. I'm not saying perfection. I'm saying filter our choices with the decision on whether or not, is this going to make the story? And if I want to be a Christian, if I want to follow God, and I want to be someone that'll have a story that can change lives, I want to stick to it. We're going to be baptizing 4 people here this morning. Yes, I'm excited about it. And the reason why I'm excited about it is because these 4 individuals, this is what they want. They want their story to be a God story. Following the footsteps of Christ, the examples, the mandates of Christ, being baptized is just yet one of the main crucial directions that every Christian, every person who calls upon the name of the Lord, being baptized is one of the crucial directions, not intentions. I'm going to get baptized one day, Pastor. One day. Well, that's good intentions, right? But that puts these 4 people on a direct path to begin their path being holy. That's my story. Now, the job for these 4 people and for you as a church is that they stick to it. If God wants my story to be someone who follows Christ and honors God, I want it, but I need to stick to it. Will you guys, as a church, continue to pray for these 4 people? You guys can go ahead and exit out the back and get ready. I'm concerned now for the rest of you here this morning. Where is your story going to end up? I know a lot of us have great intentions. I believe that. Well, Pastor Damon, my intentions are when I get my life cleaned up a little bit, then I'll walk up to the altar. Pastor Damon, when I quit this sin in my life, if I could just get over this one huge sin in my life, man, I'm coming straight to these altar, Pastor Damon. I'm going to do it. I have good intentions, Pastor. I want to have a good story. But intentions doesn't really get you to the destination. Direction does. So I want to offer you some direction. Mike's going to come up, and he's going to help guide you in the right direction. Guys, church, this building, this gathering of people is not going to secure your eternal destination in heaven. It won't. It's a great place to make the reservations. It's a great place to talk with some of the travel agents here, right? It's a great place to do that. But it's up to you to make that decision to get in line with what God's story is for your life. Thank you, Mike.